The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome to It Came From Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. Once again, in this studio, I have our very own Hassan Godwin. And for a while, we have our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, in the studio.
Wow. Was I promoted?
Or yes, you got a promotion. Oh, you are now the senior correspondent.
It is the senior correspondent, and I'm damn glad to be here.
And also, we have our guests in the studio. We have Eric Rivera.
Hello.
And we have Wilson Ramos Jr.
Welcome back. Oh, no, wait.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
So, we're all time travelers today because today's National Time Travel Day because we are now an hour behind ourselves, right? Is that how it works?
Yes. No. We're back an hour.
No, we moved back an hour. We're not an hour behind. We just all moved back an hour.
But our future selves are ahead of us.
If we were still using yesterday's time while everybody else is using today's time, we'd be time travelers. But
since
we went along with the grain, we're not eligible for that title, unfortunately.
Right.
But it was a nice idea. Next year, we'll try it.
Yeah, so we'll be on an hour early.
Yeah.
Hey, where did they go?
We just won't be on.
Yeah.
We'll show up an hour early and just sit here like idiots and then leave. Yeah. That's how it'll work.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online at www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, we are now in high-definition web camera, which you can see us right now. This is only for the people who are listening to us live, not live on tape, because they're going to be watching somebody else in the studio if they're listening to us
live
on tape.
Right, if you're living live on tape.
It's like, it's not a big thing, because all during the 60s, I was in high def.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Crickets.
We went there.
We went there, and we're gonna continue going down that well.
We need to come back real quick.
Well, I've been sick.
All right, so we're going to take it away with the news. Normally we have sad news, but I don't really have any sad news.
Someone
although
died.
I'm sure,
you just don't know who died.
I'm sure somebody somewhere has died between last week and this week.
There's a bunch of people dead between last week and this week.
It could just be one.
There's a bunch of people dead.
People die.
Something like 50,000 people die every week.
That's a very morbid.
That's very depressing.
Yeah.
It's not you.
That's
we're all right.
That's why I'm all right.
So mean.
Hold on, I'm checking.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
It's the jokes, right? That's where you got to check your pulse. Yeah. I don't know if I'm here.
So we're just going to move on with the regular news then.
Yes, take it away with the regular news.
Let's see here. For those of you who are international and overseas.
None of us.
Because we're here.
We're in the heart of the nautical mile.
Could have taken a plane.
Right now?
Yeah.
In the space of this show?
You managed to see Thor, which had the release worldwide, excluding the United States. So everybody else got to see Thor. Oh. And Thor opened up at $109.4 million on its opening
weekend.
Hasn't even come to the United States. We've all of a sudden become a secondary market.
So good. It's about time.
Good.
Because, as a long story, let's not even go into it.
Okay.
You want to do the rest of the news, right? You don't want a tirade right now.
All right.
All I know is I'm not going to see any of that money.
Exactly.
Well, you'll see the money leaving you.
It's a bona fide hit.
Yeah,
you can contribute to the money. You just can't have any of it.
But I won't have any of that.
But it's a bona fide hit already.
Yes.
Before it even came here.
Correct.
Oh, look at that. It's a powerhouse. That machine is a powerhouse. Marvel has created a powerhouse. And DC can't even get his act together. He can't even get that.
Well,
together.
Speaking of DC,
Mr.
How
Segway?
Does he do it?
It turns out directly from DC honcho Diane Nelson that DC Entertainment is going to move.
Yeah, I heard
New
about
York
this.
To California.
To Burbank. To beautiful downtown Burbank.
Because they want to go over there to make movies and
so
money.
So comics and be darned, stuff. Right? Heck with
comics. Comics be darned? Is that a
they're
true
gonna,
No, no. I believe they're going to continue publishing. It doesn't necessarily mean it should
they'll be
change.
Good.
Well, we don't know that.
Because they're going to have to trash most of their editorial staff. A lot of people aren't going to relocate to...
They'll fly them out like Conan O'Brien.
Not going to fly them out every week. Like a
No.
Not every week.
Well, you got to do every week. I'm talking about the editorial staff.
Yeah, but you said every week. So, like, Friday they fly out and they stay and then they have to come back.
You said they'll fly them out.
I meant permanently. Like they did with the Conan O'Brien staff.
They'll pay them to relocate.
Yes, they will be relocated.
What's the average person who's going to, even if they have a job, okay, and even if you have an editorial job, which means maybe you're making $60,000, maybe $70,000 a year, maybe, for comic books. You're going to get up and relocate for that job from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast across a continent.
I might do it just because I want to go to California.
I'm sure some people will go, but I'm telling you, the bulk of people are not going to be able to uproot and leave. That's not we're moving to Jersey. You know, we're going to move you to Jersey.
Oh, you'd have to pay me more to move to Jersey. I'm more likely to go to sunny California.
The views and opinions of our guests not necessarily reflect that.
I wouldn't move to California on gunpoint. I wouldn't move to California.
The views of Hassan Godwin, not necessarily.
I believe if Jesus Christ was holding a gun on me, I wouldn't move to California.
I actually know Jesus Cristo.
I'm not making any comment.
Oh, that you know. Oh, that's where the line is.
That's the line,
right
there.
That's the line. All right.
Well, Jesus can take it. Jesus is a sport. But I wouldn't move
the kids on the desk of Hassan Godwin. Jesus is a sport.
Jesus is a sport.
I think that should be a T-shirt.
There's a whole book on it.
Hey, every game I watch, they're always going. So obviously,
he's
all right,
man. The dude's cool.
You know,
he's relaxed. And
I was just watching football today, and they're blessing themselves for getting a touchdown. I'm thinking God has more important things.
Exactly.
Like earthquakes in Chile, not making you get a touchdown.
Look
know?
At it this way: how can a dude who can turn water into wine be a jerk? He's everybody's friend. Let's move past it. Let's move past it.
So what else is going on in the news?
Honestly.
And a fancy dresser. Yeah.
I would not move to California's too slow.
Okay.
I've been there several times.
Right. That was like a Sammy line.
So like to keep my point going, that yes. Most of that staff is going to have to go, which means it's going to alter the comic books, which have already been altered because of the new 52. They've already changed the entire line, and now they're going to get rid of the bulk of the people who were responsible for that line in the first place.
Well, as a segue to that, I've been following how DC has been rotating editorial staff since the whole new 52 has been coming out. There's a lot of changes going on. As the fans say that they were haphazardly done, and sometimes they were actually trying to bring back some of the old content to the new 52 universe. So
you think those moves
didn't
do any better?
I think it'll just make more of a mess.
And DC honestly has two franchises.
Right.
They have Batman and Superman. And Batman's over. I'm talking about movie-wise. Like, two movie franchises. Two successful movie franchises.
Right.
Batman and Superman.
Right.
So they're going to move their entire staff to California to concentrate on films, of which the major one is already ended. Technically, okay.
Technically.
So Batman is already over. If they're gonna say that that's part of their new Justice League universe, which they're trying to make it out to be, and Superman is iffy. Although it was highly successful, there's a lot of backwash about it, which is like the new thing of the day, where a movie comes out and is highly financially successful, and everybody raves about it, and then a month later, everyone hates it. I don't understand that, but that's just the way it is. So,
well, I can explain that. No one wants to say that they were wrong to spend $15 on a movie. Wait, no one wants to admit that they were wrong
until a couple of months later.
Oh yeah, like what's called, when you don't remember that you bought the tickets. Yeah. Like that. It's like,
hey, that movie stunk.
Hey, wait a minute.
See, now I just go see a movie, then go home, go on the internet, and let them tell me what I thought of the movie.
And that's the right way to do it, because you get into less fights that way.
Exactly.
But, you know, so they're making a big move to try to capture some of that Marvel momentum. Marvel seems to be able to do it with most of their staff in New York, though. So it's outright crazy. It's outright. And I need to see more from DC. Like, DC has a plan in an entire a slew of movie franchises that they want to produce, other than Green Lantern. Which, you know,
Wonder Woman, they've been pushing.
Yeah, they've been trying, and they couldn't even get that off the ground on their television show.
But they're still trying another Wonder Woman called Amazon on the CW.
Fine. Wonderful.
Pushing.
Wonderful.
Forward. And then Fox is going to make the Bruce Wayne.
Not Bruce Wayne, Gotham City.
Oh, Gotham City.
You know, without Batman.
I'm sure they'll all be better than S.H.I.E.L.D., because even Arrow's better than S.H.I.E.L.D.
And speaking of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
how do I do it?
It turns out that Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode airing on November 19th, titled The Well, will pick up on the events of Thor, Part 2, which is going to be in theaters next week for us in the United States.
Hoo-yah!
So,
what do we got to watch first?
You have to watch the movie first, and then you have
and
to
then
watch
the episode.
All right, so is Thor actually going to be on the show?
So now we have homework.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. They're going to drop Chris Hemsworth in there. every guy on a date can just, you know, bow his head in shame.
The executives say, in the aftermath of the events chronicled in the feature film Marvel's Thor: The Dark World, Coulson and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pick up the pieces, one of which threatens to destroy a member of the team.
Did he say in that voice?
He almost sounded like Stan Lee when he did that.
That's the executive voice. Yeah, they don't know
that. That's the executive.
Yeah. They don't know that.
The executive has not been around for a while. So guest stars will be Peter McNichol, Aaron Way. And the episode is directed by none other than Jonathan Frakes.
Wow.
So it
might be good.
It might be good.
Yeah, it might be all right.
So from the desk of It Came From Radio, the episode November 19th of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
3 weeks
might be good.
Might be good.
That's the best we're going to have.
Well, we missed it. We didn't have an episode this week, as I know.
Yeah, I think they reran the plot episode.
They got a buy.
Yeah, I didn't. And then so they're gonna pick it up again this week.
Right.
And then we're going to go right into the next 2 weeks.
Right,
of Thor,
because of the Super Thor information. And once again, a last bit of Thor news. It seems that the fans of Thor, since there are so many across the globe who have seen the movie, there will be not one, but two post-credit scenes. So make sure you stay through the entire credits of the movie to see all the Thor action that's going to happen.
Fine.
Man, I guess. Yeah, whatever. No Thor
again,
love.
More homework.
Yeah, exactly. I like Thor. It was my least favorite of the originals, but that's not because of there was anything wrong with the film. It was just... It was an okay film, but in comparison with Captain America and even Hulk, which I really the
second one,
yeah, the Edward
we'll
Norton.
Never
Hulk.
Ever talk about the first one.
No, we don't.
It's always the second.
Well, the first one gets a pass because Jennifer Connelly was in it, but yes. Other than that, it was so. And then Nick Nolte, they literally dug him up to be in that movie. And he looked and sounded like they dug him up.
That wasn't special effects.
No, it wasn't.
Didn't they dig him up also for Tropical Thunder?
Yes. But Thor, and that's actually the only one I don't own. I haven't bought that on DVD yet.
For shame on you. Now they're going to go bankrupt.
Yes, I know. They need me so
they
badly.
They need Hassan's
but
money.
But it was... I thought Thor was really great all the way up until he got to Earth. And then it just kind of went...
Oh, it was like 20 minutes into the movie.
I know. But the first 20
minutes. The first 20 minutes were awesome.
This movie was great up until,
that was
you know,
the first
20
minutes
talking.
of the Sylvester Stallone Judge Dredd was fantastic. Till he took his helmet off. And then the whole movie after that was like... Okay.
Well, so that's it for the news.
As soon as Autobot City was destroyed, the rest of that movie was crap. As soon as Autobot City was destroyed,
that
it
movie
slowed down.
Was awesome.
It slowed down. It was crap.
You couldn't maintain
the
that level
of
energy.
You'd have to kill everybody in the movie. It'd be over in 40 minutes.
I'm just saying. that's the risk you run when you make a spectacular opening act, and then you have to follow it up with all this other stuff. That's you know, that's what happens.
So with that, we're ready for our break.
I'm not ready
we'll
for a break.
We'll be right back with Game Fun Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with the King Fun Radio. This is your host, Mari Torres, speaking along with Hassan Godwin, Charlie Saladino, and our very special guests from Section 8 Comics, Eric Rivera and Wilson Ramos Jr.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for somebody saying something else. Jeez. So, as you might have figured out, today we're going to be talking about and with our guests. So we're not just going to be talking about them while they sit patiently by.
Oh, no,
they're
you
actually
talk about
going
us.
To.
That would be great if we just had them here and just talked
and
about
just
them.
Yeah,
and they just sat there.
Yeah, just sat there.
And just agreed it would turn their mics off.
That's not true. Wait, that's not. Hey, this is not.
How it happened?
Yeah. Isn't that so? Isn't that so? Yeah, he shook his head.
Yeah, he's totally agreeing with us.
Wow, so next week we're going to have Stan Lee and we're going to talk about him while he's here.
Yes.
I loved you in Amazing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You listen to headphones like nobody else in the business, Mr. Lee.
So, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Oh, actually, let me get the first question, which I'd love to ask repeat guests. Why in the world would you come back to our little humble show here?
I think that's a low self-esteem question, personally.
Because you asked.
That's the backfire of that question.
I was told it'd be food.
Well, we're having a problem with craft services. We don't pay them and they don't bring us food.
We enjoy people talking about us and to us.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I figured why not come back? And we had so much fun last time.
Ah, that's good. So what has happened since the last time you were here?
We've actually printed the comic books that we've been promising that we were going to do.
For years.
Some books for years. Almost 10, maybe 15. But we have a few of the books printed out. The book that is being held up is called The Hookup, which is actually one of our web comic books that was created almost a little more than a year ago. It came to be a thought, then we put it out onto the web, and then we printed physical copies for the New York Comic Con. So we're actually getting faster producing books.
Yeah, because we have another title that took about 13 years to produce?
Approximately 13 years to produce.
Not that long.
It's called Team Kaiju, and it's my monster versus cyborgs, not robots, cyborgs book that I created almost 15 or so years ago, back when we were doing work for another company. And it was one of those things where the book would get a start, and then we would have to put it off for something else and then start, put it off, and it just kept going. So there are actually, it's a 6-issue miniseries, and pretty much 4 issues are almost in the bed.
We have the first, third, and fourth issue and half of the second issue done. So I need him to finish the second issue so I can print up the third and fourth. I have these files I can't do anything with. I've been very tempted to go to cons and say, second issue sold out. I can't even keep them on the table.
That's a great idea, actually. That's what I should do from now on.
So...
Oh, we start with the third issue. First two keep selling out. Yeah, you gotta come back next time.
Just start with this one.
And it's exclusive. And the funny thing is that the third issue is a standalone story, so they're not losing anything. Yeah. So it's straight into an adventure.
There's a very strong what came before summary in the very beginning. That'll help.
Yeah, why not? It worked for Fast and Furious. They were all over the place with that.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
Tokyo Drift still hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. It just happened. Yeah, it finally happened.
Yeah, it did finally.
It's the last one I saw, I think.
I can understand why you'd stop after that.
Yeah, that's basically where I dropped it.
So what was the motivation to finally say, you know what, after 15 years?
It really came down to my brother Lauren saying, what do you actually have to do to finish up the first issue? So I opened up the files and I looked at it and it's like, I think I got about a week's work on it. Because so much was already done that I was like, okay, let me see if I can actually do this. I think it's going to take probably about a week, 2 weeks. And I started working on it and it's like, well, I need to do this on this particular page. And it was an art correction. And I did it in 20 minutes. And then I did another page. And it's like, I just have to do this. And it was done. And I realized that 10, 15 years ago, when those almost to the date, to the month, that the last time I had these files open, I'm looking at it and I realized that 10 years ago, I did not know how to use the programs as well as I do how to use them now. And as I'm sitting there going, here's something that I just kept saying that I'll do later once I figure it out, I was able to do. And it was simple things in coloring for color holes. It was back then I was just starting to letter, so there was like little tricks I didn't know. And next thing I know, it wasn't really a whole week to do. It was a few hours. It was like 4 days. So it only took 10 years and 4 days to finish up that file almost to the month. And before we knew it, it was like the book's done. You know, we sent it out to get to look over. And it's like, well, why not print it? We have enough time to get it printed for the New York Comic Con. So it was great to be able to go to the con with, I think, four new books altogether.
Three new books. We got one that we finally finished the editing right before the con, but I'm like, it's going to cost me more to rush print the book than the printing of the cost for printing itself. So I said, we'll just print it on the off season and have it ready for the next.
Exactly. So we had one, the first book that we did was Star's Edge. 32-page book. We finally went to full color with it, so we had that for the New York show. Team Kaiju, 24-page book. Finally got that done after so many years. And again, it really came down to every time I started to work on the project, something else would come in, and it was like I would put that on the back burner. And that's the problem being a freelancer, that you want to work on your own projects, but you still got to do all the paid stuff first. And I got so used to putting it on the back burner that once I had it in front of me, it was so easy, you know, kicking myself that it took 4 days to finish up this thing that I thought might have an extra week on it. So we were just so happy to have it done and send it out. And the funny thing is like some of the other books that we have in production, we're actually seeing more of the artwork come in on that as well. So I always feel that creative energy builds on creative energy. So we started showing pages to our other creators and go, oh, you're done with that one. Well, is our book going to be next? And it's like, well, it pretty much can be put onto the process. And then we started seeing artwork come in for one of our other books. So the great part about it is that I always felt that the creative energy does build on top of itself.
Being a freelancer, it takes away from the business end because you're just, you know, you're more of the creative side. So how is it when you're doing the business end and also being the creative side? How do you find that balance?
Well, most of the business stuff, Eric handles. I try to just handle the creative aspect. Yeah. So to me, it's like I'm the art director, I'm the editor-in-chief in the sense of the art side. So whoever other artists that are working for us, I'm taking the art in, looking at it, making any corrections there. But Eric will handle everything else that has to be business and conventions and stuff like that. He handles all that because it's the only way that I can concentrate on the art portion of it or – the art directing side of it.
Yeah, I pretty much have to take on the business aspect and said, and I'm constantly telling him, don't worry about the money, we'll get the money. Don't worry about this. Do your job. Produce the pages. That's all I need you to do. Take care of your job, and I'll take care of mine. And then every now and then I go into a corner and cry because I got to figure out where I'm going to get the money for this table or for that printing or stuff like that. Then I go sell some blood, small children.
Only small children, not the big ones.
Well, no, the small ones are easier to grab.
Oh, my God.
No, I mean, we've had to, fortunately.
It came from the radio, does not. Child theft and white slavery.
No, off-white.
Well, that we're all right.
I notice you don't condone, but you don't condemn either. You're ambivalent about it.
Yeah, we're like Switzerland.
Yeah. No, we got a lot of work to do, yeah, man. Yeah, we can't be condemning any kind of activity people do.
Work has to get done.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, by dividing up the work between the two of us, that's how we're able to function as a company, where he does a lot of the more creative stuff, a lot of... Hey, I need some logos. A couple of days later, I've got some logos. Hey, I need this as a PDF. A couple of days later, I got it as a PDF. I have a little bit of Photoshop skills, but nothing compared to him. And so a lot of it, I just go, does this look good? And then he'll say, no, let me fix it. But that's usually how I trick him into getting work done faster. I have to do it wrong on purpose so that he'll go and it's like, well, why didn't you give me this before? I gave it to you 2 weeks ago. I don't remember that. Yeah, of course you don't.
Again, the creative aspect is what I worry about.
So as the business end, how do you make a niche for yourself? Because being at the New York Comic Con, there was a slew of new companies, old companies. Just how do you find your way?
The New York Comic Con is not for us to build our niche out of. It's for us to get work for. New York Comic Con really is for us a promotional thing. We do not expect to sell anything there, because New York Comic Con is more of a pop culture show rather than a comic book show. So we're not, our fan base is not really there. We do
sell some books there.
Oh yeah, well, I'm not going to tell them no.
No, not for
I
you.
I hear from a lot of people that's not a really big selling show.
No,
it's more of a showcase.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, if you go in there with that mentality that this is a place for me to display my stuff, as being on the floor, and maybe certain things might fly if you have a certain niche. For instance, we have some friends of ours who. The Alpha Gods. They sell little sculptures and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
we know them. They're friends of us.
Yeah, they're
right. Christian, Tony.
Yeah, and they said, from what I remember, 2 years ago, all of Tony's statues were flying. They were just gone. They turned around like, I don't know what's going on. I like it, but I don't know what's going on. This year, he was like, I couldn't move anything. Christian's art, though, was going. So, like, you never know what's going to go at a show, but they're also doing it, again, to sell stuff, but also for recognition. We create this name base that suddenly, like, people like from Comixology and from Diamond and stuff like that, they're coming to us and say, oh, can I look at your books? Have you decided to submit to us and stuff like that? If we were just staying in Artist Alley, they wouldn't even look at us. So, again, that's all about presence. Then we do the smaller shows, and that's where we actually move books. Because a $200 table, we can make our money back no problem.
Also, I always say that the New York show is where I would probably get maybe up to 70% or more of my future freelance work from there, by talking, networking. As a matter of fact, we got work for, I'm doing freelance work for New Paradigm Studios, which they do Watson and Holmes and Rock Thrower. Hmm. The connections that I have there had gotten me to work on the I, Frankenstein graphic novel, which is being produced by Legendary Pictures and printed by Dark Horizon Studios. That work also brought in some work for Eric as well, because we're working on the Spanish edition of that particular book. And again, we got the work from being at the New York Comic Con. So it's the connections that we make there would hopefully, and has in the past, brought us in more work as a studio. And then just jumping off of there, we could produce, you know, whatever money we make as a studio, then we could put into our own books.
So why is it that you would get such a large space? Wouldn't you get like just a little tiny little space as far as the convention goes? Because it's expensive for New York Comic Con.
It is, but we also have a lot of people in our studio, a lot of people who work with us. Matter of fact, we would not be where we are if we didn't have the group of great people who believe in our project who are working with us. And I say with us, not for us, because they're there just to help us put things together. And it's just easier to have a bigger table, to have more of a presence, to show that we are a full functioning studio who can not only do our own work, but we do work for everyone else. Freelance-wise, I've done work for Topps, Marvel, DC, all the major independents, and then everyone that has worked for us has gone on to do other work. So it's the whole strength in numbers, looking like a bigger studio, because we are a bigger studio, and that aspect that we could produce any form of comic book or magazine that's needed.
Also, you got to understand, with a show like the New York Comic Con, if we're in Artist Alley, we're completely lost. And on top of that, we're so many people, it wouldn't be worth it to sit there. Like, you can't buy more than one table at Artist Alley. There's so much of a hassle of trying for the quote-unquote audition process. It's not worth it.
Plus, they also limit now what you can be selling at your table. So I could be at the table and sell, you know, my sketchbook, but if I try to sell T-shirts with our characters on it, more merchandising, which is what we're starting to build as a brand, there are now new restrictions that I've heard.
They want you to buy a small press table.
Small press. At least.
Wow.
And we've done small press, but again, it's the amount of space, and we have on average 8 artists in the table. We would like to have the more room. And we save up for the New York show. That's where our big, you know, kind of
Because we happen to live in New York, it's actually one of our cheaper shows.
Right.
Because when you count in the travel, you count in hotel expenses, food, strip clubs.
What?
Where was that in the comic?
We keep skipping that one.
No, you don't read that.
It's not in the comic book.
It's in the web comic.
It's on the web comic.
It's research. It's all research.
It's all research, you know.
Gotcha. But when you add all that together, it sometimes is maybe $500 to $1,000 more than what I'm spending on. Because if you combine all of us with a crew of six to eight guys, if we all were to go to a show like this and just have, like, say, 2 Artist Alley tables or 3 Artist Alley tables, it's actually cheaper for us to do the New York show.
And if you get a small press table, you almost have to start trying to really push your merchandise just to make the table kind of hopefully pay for itself, right? Because those tables aren't cheap either.
They're not cheap, and again, it's so close-knit that you feel like you're on top of the person that's next to you on the next table.
See, I don't know if they're doing this on purpose, but every year they tease us, and this is why we got the table we have. Because the first year we did small press, the guy next to us didn't show up. So they're like, do you want to expand your space? And we're like, hell yeah. So I send an email to the guy who's running the show the next year and say, hey, can we buy 2 spaces, 2 small press? And he's like, we don't allow that. But you know that the price difference between 2 small press tables and floor space is only like $300. I'm like, well, then let me get exhibitor space. And it worked out well. Then 2 years later, they accidentally put us in a quarter spot. And I'm like, oh, wow, this traffic actually flows a lot better. Uh-huh. Hey, how much is a quarter spot? It's a couple of extra $100. I'm like, all right. But I'm like, every year they keep giving me one free.
They gave us just a little bit to come back for more.
First one's always free. Yes.
Of course.
First one's always free.
What advice can you give out to people who are starting in the business?
Don't do it.
That is 9 times out of 10, that's the answer we get.
I was just going to say, everybody says that. Stop asking that question, Mark.
Stop it. You're going to ruin our fan base, man.
The funny thing is, I think he asked us this last year, and I told him then.
I've been thinking about it, and I would say I would have to ask the person exactly what do they want to do. If you want to be an artist, penciler, draw every day, draw all the time. If you're a writer who wants to create a comic book, one, write all the time, because I've talked to so many writers who told me, hey, I wrote a script. Okay, what else have you written? Have you written a short story? No, I don't do that. Have you written a book? No, I don't do that. I just want to write comics. So what did you write? Just that one thing. Yeah. It's like, no, I want to see more. You know, write for everyone. Now, if you're young and you're just starting out and you decide, I want to do my own comic book, first thing you do, save up a ton of money, take any job you can take, and for the next 5 years, work on your craft, work on your art, and save up that money, because it's going to be so much easier to be able to put out your own book by having some money. And that's what Eric and I had joked about. When we left the other company to who we were doing some freelance work with, we saw that not only do you have to put all your time into creating this thing, but a little money goes a long way. Where, again, they talked about you'll get money off the back end, which to me is the new scheme right. That's out there. Right. Yeah, you know, after we pay for the printing, after we pay for this and that,
yeah,
you get paid off the back end. It's like, no.
You know, when they say that,
there is no money on the back end.
There is.
You know, when I hear that, all I hear is, oh, you want to work pro bono?
Yeah, work right. For free. Yeah.
So I would say that just a little bit of money goes a long way. Because, again, as an editor, in one aspect, if I'm paying someone to do work, I could bother them, where is my work? If they're doing it for me for free, I cannot go up and go, hey, have you finished this yet? So a little money goes a long way. But for the artists, writers, practice all the time. You know, because, again, I forget the exact number. I think it's supposed to be you have 10,000 bad sketches in you. Once you get them out, you could actually draw really good.
Everything is gravy after that.
Everything is gravy after that.
I'm up to 9,001. I'm
almost there myself.
I'm up to 8.
Huh?
I'm up to 8.
Well, you don't sketch a lot. That's what you gotta. You gotta.
I draw an eye every once in a while.
You gotta pull some all nighters, man.
I can do a really mean eye. That's pretty much all I can do.
Some writer said, and I keep forgetting the name, but he said, in order to write, and this is for prose, so this is not even comic books, but it has to apply. In order to write, you have to write every day, and you have to read more than you write.
So, I can agree on that. I also say that, again, you have to have at least one good story in you. Because I meet you, and you don't even have... I'm not saying go have a crazy adventure, but if you can't tell me a story,
if
you don't even have one, you know, crazy,
yeah, you got nothing to tell. You
I
got
was
nothing.
Drunk one night. Here's my story. If you don't have one of those,
I got a couple of those.
So that actually goes back to, if you want to be in comics, don't be in comics, because you'll be able to live your life and have other experiences to bring into.
I think the gist of what everyone's saying. And I'm not going to speak for these guys because they're here. But like speaking for everyone else we've ever asked that question.
They're here and their mics are on.
I think you just really have to love it and not be and want to see a product, you know, produced more so than you want to sell that product.
Well, if the create that content, money will come later, hopefully.
Right.
But that's the thing. It's like, don't, as an artist, I can see looking at other artists' work and go, I can't do as good as this. And you shouldn't let it put you down. You should let that work inspire you.
Right.
You should definitely make sure that if this is what you really want to do, go for it and do it and keep trying. I believe now is the easier time to put out your own comic book than it ever has been before. You got companies like Kablam. You can order one book. You could spend your time and create that one book. You have comic book clubs. You can easily join on Facebook, on message boards. Before that, the only people that you talked about comics was maybe someone you might have known at a comic book shop, and you talked about it. But there were no real clubs.
And the other kids who used to get beat up in high school.
Exactly. You know, that type of thing.
Or and the technology is ridiculous now. Photoshop and Manga Studio and all this stuff where you can actually, if you have half a talent yourself, you could produce your own comic book.
And the great thing about it is you don't necessarily have to take classes. You don't have to pay for it. Everything's on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can actually learn how to do it all online.
If you can pay attention.
Google has taught me so much. Google, how do I do blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
the best thing about Google, or the main thing about Google, is you just have to learn how to ask the question correctly to get what you need, to find what you need.
That's why I don't respect dumb people anymore. Because, I never did.
That's what I was going to say. When did you
a lot of, I've got people ask me like so many questions. I don't know how to do, you know, it's like, the first thing I do whenever something goes wrong is Google it, you know? It's the first, if the internet is such a terrible device for, you know, for communication, because everyone's cynical. Everything is, you know, everything is kind of crazy out there. But I mean, the one great thing about it is every piece of information that's ever been had
is already out there.
At your
granted, sometimes you have to sift through some bad information.
Yeah,
I will admit,
definitely keep multiple sources.
You will have to go through this data and say, this doesn't work for me, this works for you. And that's the other thing that I tell a lot of writers. Not everybody can write everything. It's not everybody has the same style. You have to find what your niche is. I'm not a big fan of writing prose. I can do it. I just don't. It's not my style. I always liked the script format. I originally wanted to write movie scripts, but someone asked me if I would write a comic book script. I said, I don't know anything about panel breakdown, but I'll give it a try. And he liked it. I was like, all right. He's like, you want to do two more? I'm like, all right, I'll keep doing this.
And this is something I do now.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's like once you learn the craft or learn that part, you know, learn your kung fu and do it good. You know, that's basically how it goes. And again, like we're saying, that you, one thing you don't want to do is work for anyone for free. But that's different when you're collaborating with someone. There's so many groups, Comics Artists Guild.
Right.
The New York chapter is a great group of people who get together and just talk about the craft of comics. And every once in a while, you know, people can meet up and then put something together. You want to put your portfolio better put your portfolio together for you than for somebody else. So I would say, you know, you're looking for work, you're looking for the experience, but. Again, it's also keep an eye out for certain things. So doing work on the back end, you're not going to see money. Doing the work for exposure, you don't need someone else to give you your own exposure. You got everything from Facebook to
right.
DeviantArt.
Right.
You could expose yourself any way you want.
Not on the radio.
Well, it's radio, not television.
It's radio.
I happen to be here. That's why
I'm
saying
that's, no. That's true. You got that.
I don't need to see that.
But again, easiest to put out a comic book now than it was, let's say, 10 years ago.
And how long have you been... Charlie?
No, I was going to say the answer we always get from that question, as we got it here, was above all, before all this, is you have to have the passion.
Yeah, I think that's for almost anything in the creative arts.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine who I went to high school with, and in early 90s, she actually put out a pop album, and she was actually... It did really well. She was on like being Z100 and all that stuff. And then her next three albums are all jazz because she liked jazz more than and she doesn't have that name recognition she had in the early 90s. But now she her money is made from being a backup singer for Rod Stewart. But when she what her passion is doing her jazz singing. So whenever she's in any place for longer than a couple of days, she arranges to do her own performances and stuff like that. She's got three albums in the jazz venue, but nothing. Only one in pop because she's like, it was all right. It got me noticed, but it's not my passion.
Not what I want.
Yeah, and if you really for her, it was about singing and it was about that particular style of singing. She found a way that she could do it. You may never become famous. You may never become in anything. You may not be like the biggest name, but if you can find a way to make money out of it, like. The question really becomes, do you want to do this particular art form or do you want to make money? If you want to make money, go be a lawyer. If you're really doing this just for money, go be a lawyer, be an accountant, do whatever. That. If you're doing it, at the end of the day, I made this book. And that's not mine. I made this book and I was so happy. And so I'm like, if I don't sell any copies, I'll still be ecstatic at the fact I actually made it. I actually produced it. I would have still liked to sell some copies.
And we did, so people are buying them. So we got to remember that. It's just that right now we're just building that momentum. And again, it comes down to the passion to do it and just trying to do it smart. We stroked around. It's like I've seen how independent companies have done their work. I've seen how large companies have done the work. For 10 years, I worked in the offices of Marvel Comics. So I always talk to Eric. It's like, we're not going to do those mistakes. We're going to do brand new ones, yeah. But we're not going to do
those
particular
mistakes. We're innovative in our mistakes.
Exactly, and then learn from it. And it comes down to we're having so much fun doing it this way that for a while we joked around. It's like, I thought making comic books was going to be hard. And then I realized the reason why it was so hard is because there was a lot of things getting put in our way that didn't need to be there. Right. So we would make a suggestion, hey, we got our comic book, it's done, let's put it on Comixology, let's put it on the net. And then you would talk to someone else, like, well, why do that? And it's like, why not? There are people who are buying comic books digitally who are not buying it in print, and they never intended to buy it in print. So why lose out on that particular sale? Right. Do not be afraid of the technology. Might as well use it and embrace it.
Yeah, so we submitted to Comixology recently, and hopefully within a couple of months you can buy our books on tablet. So, I mean, we'll have it also in print and in tablet. So, again, why not take advantage of all the things out there? And that's something that you can do now that you couldn't do 10 years ago. You could literally go out there, make a book, put it up as a PDF, and with certain other than Comixology, there's other websites where you can basically say, give me $2 and you can get a copy of my PDF. That's something that you could not do 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I have, as senior correspondent, which I just found out I am today.
Congratulations.
I found out too.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. What's the book about, and how did you get the idea?
Oh, that's a very good idea. Wow. Oh,
okay.
A real question
which
here.
Which book? Because we had a correspondent to know.
Okay,
how to
so well, let's start with
one we're looking at now.
Okay, The Hookup.
Yeah.
Eric?
All right, The Hookup is basically a relationship story. I have a lot of friends who have, hey, you know, this one time I got drunk and blah, 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 blah.
And that's I was how like, usually start?
Yeah, well, and I needed a format where I could tell these stories because I'm like, I got a couple of my own. I got a couple of my brothers. I was like, I need someplace where I could tell this format. So I was like, I need to do something about relationships. And I actually took the names from the fantasy series that I really liked and stuff like that. And I decided, I'll follow formats of like other TV shows I've seen, like Friends and Coupling and stuff like that. Three guys, three girls, just keep it simple and stuff like that. And from there, I was just like, it grew into something much larger than I expected. Like, originally, I was just going to keep it more segmented to specific stories, but then I started coming up with a much larger story arc. I was like, all right, maybe this should be a webcomic rather than just like a little thing and stuff like that. And that's kind of how it grew up from there. And currently it starts off with one guy having just been dumped by his girlfriend.
Of course.
And the whole thing is that was cool. I literally took this like verbatim out of mine and my older brother's relationship where he got dumped by a girl. And in fact, the girlfriend right before he got the girl he married, like the girl right before that, I was cursing her up a storm. And he's like, why are you so angry? It happened to me. I'm like, it's like, because you were supposed to break up with her. She was supposed to break up with you. Simple male rationale. I'm like, no, that's not supposed to go that way. Yeah, I wanted her out of your life, but you were supposed to kick her out. And that's how like the intro of the book starts and stuff like that. So, I mean, a lot of it is pulled just... I write so many other things that are like fantasy and sci-fi and stuff like that. I wanted something where I could do like slice of life. And I was like, I need a way to do this. I texted a friend of mine, hey, you still drawing? And she's like, yeah. I was like, how would you like to do a webcomic? She's like, what's that? She had no idea about, like, she's an actual trained like painter and stuff like that. But I texted her, I told her what I wanted to do. And she's like, I've never done that, but I guess I could try. It's like, and she was really good. And Wilson's been doing the coloring, so... And the lettering, I think the book's been doing really well.
It is a little step away from the stuff that we normally do, which is the traditional superhero type stuff. One of the other books that we've talked about the last time we were here was Star's Edge, which we now have it in color as a graphic novel. One of the things that we decided to do for that particular book was to let's tell this one story and get it out and not worry about doing a series. Let's do it almost like a Disney movie where... It begins, it ends, but there can always be stuff added to it, or we could revisit it if we want to. Star's Edge is basically a space story where a college student kid gets taken from Earth.
Yes, we've gotten old. Before it used to be this guy, now it's this kid.
Now it's this kid, yeah. Before it was the guy. He gets kidnapped, experimented on, and gets thrown into gladiator-type games in space. He has to win a certain number of fights to get out and go home. So it's basically the story has a couple of his fights. It's this larger arc to the Section 8 universe, because it's the beginning of what our universe is like, and that there are aliens on Earth in the background doing things. The next book after that was Team Kaiju, which was a book that was brought into the Section 8 universe by just a few changes here and there, not that much. They do not deal with the alien presence as of yet. They're dealing with their own story, which are cyborgs, people who were experimented on, turned into cyborgs, who fight monsters. So basically, before Pacific Rim, Pacific Rim, but in a smaller scale.
And the other thing, the funny thing is that what's called with Team Kaiju, we did the typical DC things, like what's called, where's this place? Oh, we'll make up a city. All right, no problem. And we decided to make that, even though it's in our world, it's more of a teen kid audience book, while Star's Edge is a little bit more adult, more mature. There's no cursing or anything, but there's a lot more graphic violence in there and stuff like that. And I'm a firm believer of, I don't believe in censorship. I do believe in labeling, like let people know what they're getting and stuff like that. So like people come to us and go, what book can I get for my kid? How old is your kid? Oh, these two over here or that one over here. Like, I tell them which ones that I feel are appropriate for their age group.
Right. And then we consciously kept that in mind. So the next book that we're working on, which is Gaidogen, which follows what's going to happen with Star's Edge, or at least mainly with the aliens that are on Earth, it will follow that storyline and then keep going from there. So we're building the universe that way. We also have a book called Ninja Mouse, which is our cartoony book, which started off as the 24-hour comic.
Yes.
And we're working on that now to make a series of that one. That it, even though it is outside of the Section 8 universe, it's still part of it, because in the Section 8 universe, Ninja Mouse would be a known cartoon series. So every now and then in the background, there'll be a billboard that will have, watch the next episodes of Ninja Mouse kind of a thing. So just to keep everything kind of together.
We're a big fan of the cohesive universes and stuff like that when it's done right.
Right.
I like the whole idea of crossovers. I even remember watching on TV seeing certain shows when I was a kid, and they'd have certain characters cross over with this guy. I was like, hey, this guy's on that show. Why is he on this show? I love that concept, because it was a shared world. And when it's done well, I remember in the 80s in particular, there'd be a great battle that happened in Fantastic Four, and you see Spider-Man swinging by the rubble, and making just a minor reference. And I'm little things like that I thought were really cool. And so we like to have things like that in our world, where it's a little reference here, a little reference there to different things.
How hard is it to keep track of all that stuff?
Since I do a lot of the writing, not that hard.
Yeah, right now, it's because we're starting off small, and it's one of the things that we, again, because we work for so many different companies and talk to so many different people, like I said before, doing your homework, we've talked to just about everyone. And one of the things that I remember from Tom DeFalco telling us, San Diego Comic-Con back in 2000 and probably one or two, he says, we start off small. Marvel started off, I think, with four books and then grew from there. And that's the same mentality we have. It's basically, here's the outline. We have an outline of what we want to happen in our universe. We have also a timeline of what happened in the past, what happens in the middle, and where we hopefully we're willing to go to. And with that in mind, then we could put everything into place. And I'm always, like I said, a fan of those crossovers. It doesn't have to be a major crossover. Eventually, we'll probably have one, but not to go crazy and have one every year like the big companies do. Just have one or two, or something that happens that has a ripple effect in the rest of the universe.
So where do you see yourselves next year?
Next year, I see ourselves here talking about
celebrating the anniversary.
Celebrating the anniversary.
How broke we are.
I would like to be able to say that we'll have probably four new books, because they're already in production, the continuation of the other books. So hopefully by this time next year, that we'll be talking about the Team Kaiju trade paperback. All six issues are done, and the book is done, and who knows who we're going to have for the cover for that one.
And
but
Ninja Mouse animated series?
I would love to have an animated series. But for now, I think just to put out the books that we're working on, put out some great-looking books, and hopefully we can say that we're just about done with what we wanted to do for the first couple of years, or what we've been calling season. So this is the first season of books, or second season.
We're still in the first season.
We're still in the first season. So by next year, definitely be in the second season of books.
So we have about 5 minutes left. So now is the time to promote any websites or places or even people, which you didn't even mention your friend's name, that you want to promote. Now is the time.
All right. Well, first off, our website is section8comics.com. We also have the Hookup webcomic is also at thehookupcomic.com. What else do we have?
We have the 8spot.com, which is the webcomic about us making comics.
That's actually the fourth book that we were collecting, and that's the one that we should definitely have by the beginning of next convention season because, again, it would have cost too much to print that up and rush it and stuff like that, but we finally got everything together, so it's like we'll have a collection of all those strips together as well.
Like I said, the 8spot.com, which is the webcomic we do about ourselves. We also do the 8spot news, which is not as regularly updated, but it's basically taking our characters from the 8spot, which is ourselves, and doing news reports about the comic industry itself. And usually we just comments on stuff, things like that.
A simple one we did was like not last year, when the first Thor came out. We did a movie review, but we don't like to do spoilers, so all we did was just basically, it's like, how was the movie? Great. How was the acting? Great. How was Chris Hemsworth? I'm not talking about him. He gave me odd feelings when I saw him without a shirt.
So we are 3 minutes. So final thoughts. We'll just go around. Hassan, you have a final thought for us?
No.
No final thought, Hassan.
I think everything that they're saying is fantastic. I want you guys to, before the end, mention those groups again for people to go and commune with other artists. I think that's very important. I think if you just learn your stuff and learn the technology, you can pretty much produce a quality comic book now from your kitchen. And you just have
from
to
anywhere, basically.
Yeah, you just have to have the passion and the drive to be able to do it, and that should helpfully weed out a lot of the jumble of crap that's out there.
Charlie, final thought.
Yes, I think everybody should check out their websites. I've been browsing this comic book while you guys have been talking, and it's very wonderful. I think you should check it out, check out all their other stuff, and that's about it. And, you know, do it, or I'll come over there.
And you can find us on Facebook, Section 8 Comics.
Yeah, we have a Section 8 Comics Facebook page where we're constantly listing all our updates. In fact, if you want, we'll also put up some of the list of different organizations we know that we like the Comics
Arts Guild
and all the other places that we're revamping the website so that we can actually put a lot of information there for people.
All right, so guys, final thoughts, Eric Wilson.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I'm having a great time here, and like I said before, you want to do something, go ahead and do it. You know, you want to work in art, go ahead. You know, when you tell your friends, oh, I want to work on a comic book, if they say why, they're don't listen to them. It's because that's what you want to do.
All right, so that about does it for this week on It Came From The Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of this show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com, and it will be up within a day or so. We've been doing pretty good with that, so awesome. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person.